Shalom, and welcome everyone to the room. The weekly conversation with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maitreya, eternal divine path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Word Continuously, Religious Group Section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Shalom everyone, welcome to the conversation room of the mission. As usual, we will be here together for an hour and a half. And in this period, we will discuss the mission of Maitreya, and we together will study this new revelation that have come to humanity. Of course, we are at this time celebrating the Feast of Tabernacle. If you go to chapter 23 of Leviticus, God presented 7 feasts during the year, and these 7 feasts are demanded, are commanded to be kept holy and followed forever. And therefore, these are the only holy days that they are accepted for humanity to follow. And the Feast of Tabernacle is the last one that represents of coming of the Christ and God and the finality of the revelation and the Spirit of God on earth, which is the same as the 7th revelation that now we have on earth as the final revelation of God to humanity. And we have been enjoying the feast whole week with the people who have joined us either here in the center of the mission or through the Pal Talk. We have all trying to learn how to let God and His energy come through us and how we can unify only when we become one with God, and when our spirit all represent His spirit, and then we go beyond any narrowness of the mind, any nationality, any gender, any race, and we have people here that with the background of Christianity, Judaism, and hopefully one day we will have Muslim, Hindus, Buddhists, American Indians, and any other background that they might have come from. And then they come together in the Spirit of God, just the way we are doing it right now in the mission. They no longer have any narrowness of the mind, and they can relate to each other as the children of God and become one. In that state, we will realize there is only one earth, one humanity, one God, one Savior, and we are here to bring the kingdom of God on earth. And we are the pioneer of this peaceful and peace that humanity is longing for, but they don't know how to accomplish it, because they still separate themselves by nationality, by religion, by race, by gender, by any other possible separation that they can think of, because their ego is limiting them to see that there is only one God and one universe. He has created all this universe for only one purpose, so we can progress as fast as possible and to become divine. That is what the goal of the life is, to become divine. That divinity, God, is everything, and therefore all of us are a part of that divinity, because He is everything, and therefore we are not separated from Him, and we are one. If we recognize that and let the ego go, then we have nothing left but let God come through, and of course we will become one. The only reason the separation exists between us, even if there is a separation in the mission, is because of our ego is in the way. And as ego is in the way, of course, we will feel separate and we will not become one. Therefore, the trick is to get rid of the subconscious mind. We have conscious mind and unconscious or universal mind or God, and therefore the only thing is left to see that same essence in other people, recognize it, and see that we indeed are the same material, from the same place, from the same essence, and therefore become one. That is what we work here in this mission, and in this feast also, all the members are trying to let the ego go, and the spirit come through. And if we can get 10% of humanity feels like that, and we gather the elect, 144,000 elect and ones who have progressed spiritually for last 12,000 years, then we have a great power and energy, and there are going to be many great lights and light workers on earth, that they can come together and bring the kingdom of God on earth, and eventually shatter all the narrowness of the mind and separation that exists on this planet, and bring the peace. And that can be done only with those who have gone through meditation, awakening of spiritual forces for last 12,000 years. They have been yogis, they have been Muslim, they have been Christian, they have been saints, they have been Kabbalists, there have been Sufis, there have been many, many level of consciousness in many lifetimes, and when they see this revelation, they say, yes, this is the only thing makes sense. There is only one God, and how can there be so many religions and separation between them? And now we can see that He reveals what He kept a secret, even from the prophets and great souls who brought great revelations to humanity, but all of them recognize and realize that they don't have the whole revelation, and they refer to the end time, that at the end time only the whole truth will be revealed. And now we are not in the end time. This is time that humanity is indeed going toward the great upheaval and tribulation, and although our human part doesn't like it and doesn't want to see its suffering and destruction and death and wars, but apparently humanity will not relent their ways until they reach a point that they see how fruitless their efforts are, the way they do it, with the war and domination and destruction and ego trip. Therefore, our job is to understand this teaching, put our effort in creation of the communities of light, and create the system that have been come from God to us in the mission, and create that system for the mission. And when it's established, then the leaders of the mission will come from these communities, and indeed that is the most democratic system you can find. Actually, don't really have a democratic system on Earth at all. There is no democratic system anywhere that majority really win in a sense of coming from the people, which is communities. Community, what is, who creates communities? Communities of light are from the people. And therefore, we have a great job in front of us, and the work is to purify ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually, and purify our environment also. That is what the struggle, that's what meditation is. Meditation is a struggle, you know, individually and collectively. Individually, we know ourselves, we look at ourselves, we see how our ego is in the way of God, and we let God come through more and more. And at the same time, we work with an environment by creating an environment that other people also can meditate, have their physiological and safety needs taken care of, so they can also let God come through. And the more God come through, the more we will become one. Because there is no other way that human or two people or a group can become one but to let the Spirit of God come through. Any other way will be ego, and ego loves to separate. Ego loves to feel superior to other people, not humble and one. And that is what we were talking about last night in the satsangs. Those who have been here, they probably heard how ego is tricky and how it will not let us God come through, and it is in the way. Anything that doesn't let God come through is in the way, and we have to recognize it, to see it, to understand it, and then eventually say, no, I don't want this ego, which is Maya, is destruction, is separation, and it does not let me let God come through. And as we said many times, even couples cannot become one until they let God come through and they both concentrate on God, and then the couple also can become one. And that goes also for any relationship, you know, between friends, between members in the mission. If you guys let God come through, you will see you are brothers and sisters. You have recognized that essence. When you recognize that essence in yourself, then you can recognize that essence to everyone. And then you can see what is ego, who has ego, and who is connected to God. Now, if they are not one with the community, if they create disturbance in the community, if they are not flowing and letting God come through, then that is ego, and they should look at this ego very clearly and see it and get rid of it. And therefore, they come and do what mission has been telling everybody to do for the last 24 years. Get rid of your ego and become one in their spirit with the rest of the members. Then you will become brothers and sisters, no matter what color, what nationality, what gender, or whatever place you have come from. Then see what is my essence and how I can help to bring the kingdom of God on earth. And then you can see yourself and your place in the whole picture, and you will work accordingly. So after you saw yourself clearly, then you don't really long for the places that you do not belong. You just accept God's will for you, and you follow whatever is necessary to be done. So we are working in that, in the mission. The way has been given, the meditation that has been given, Hari Om Shri Hang Om Nam Kevalam, by itself is a powerful meditation, and the process in the meditation room, if you follow it, and you recognize that the stillness between breathing in and breathing out, and breathing out and breathing in, and seeing the energy released in the stillness when you breathe in, between breathing in and out, and write the mantra on that energy, you will eventually reach a point that you will become still. And in the stillness, you will realize infinity, you will realize God, you will realize eternal state, which these three things cannot be explained. infinity, eternity, and God. They are the same thing, and they cannot be intellectually explained, but it can be experienced, and that experience and how you experience God, the way to do it has been given to you. It is the process of meditation that is revealed to humanity, and you really don't need anything besides that, and the revelation is given to you freely, and you can go and read and see and share with everybody. You can even print it and give it to other people in your community. You can start some work in the community. You can start a meditation class. You can start a yoga class. You can start a study class. You can start a gathering to discuss the mission with whoever is interested, wherever you are. You can write to your leaders, to your churches, your synagogues, whatever spiritual people you know. So reach out. Let them know that the last revelation of God has come, and invite them, talk to them, and be effective in spreading their mission and the word of God. And therefore, become engaged. Become a channel. But don't be attached to the result of the action. You know, just let God come through and then say, well, it's God, it's yours, God, I'm done. I wanted to spread the mission. And also it really helps you when you try to spread the mission, not only you enjoy it, but also you start seeing yourself more and more, how much you know about the mission, how much you don't. And also what is the best way to do it, how to improve my approach. And little by little, you will become a good teacher. You will attract other people in your community, and you can create a community of light wherever you are. At least you have this similar-minded people around you, and you will not be alone with this mission and this realization, but you have many people around you who have that realization. So it is really a mission call to action. You cannot be idle and bring the kingdom of earth, as it is completely revealed in Bible. There are going to be many people who will be engaging themselves in bringing the kingdom of God, and they will long to do that. And as we create this system, and the organization and the mission will become an efficient system, the other earthly system will fall apart. As God said, Babylon the Great will fall and will be destroyed. What is going to replace it? If you go to Daniel and the dream of the Nebuchadnezzar, you know, Daniel explained this very well, that God's kingdom will come and will replace the kingdom of earth, and the stone which hits the image will become a mountain. And of course, as we explained, mountain is the triangle upward and is the four pillar of the system that we have. Therefore, that dream about the image and how it's destroyed is about this mission and how God's kingdom will come on earth. And we know it's going to happen. God said he's going to do things. He has done it before, and he said his kingdom will come, and his kingdom will, but nobody had the way to do it until now. And now we have the way of how to bring the kingdom of God on earth, and the way has been shown. The only thing really we have to do is understand the teaching, understand the revelation of God, and reach out to our environment, in our area, our community, and start bringing the like-minded people together. And not only in the community, in the nations we are, in the continent we are, in the whole earth. So eventually we can create the system and just wait until the other system fell apart. And then when they do, we have a viable system that we can easily replace the old with a system that brings the peace and unity and oneness to humanity. And eventually, for the first time, after 12,000 years, humanity will see that, yes, that is the way to peace. And humanity start working on their ego, and then say, yes, ego has to go. And as the more ego go, the more God will come through, and the unity will be completed. Again, this is the conversation room for the mission of Maitreya. Here we discuss the mission and our revelation, and we invite everybody who goes to our website. It's on the top of the banner. Study our teaching, become familiar with them, and if they have any question, they are welcome to come to this room and bring it up by typing in the text or raising their hand and coming to the mic. So if you are not familiar with our teaching, we invite you to go first to our website and study this new revelation which unifies all the religions of the world. No one has been left behind. If you have the Spirit of God in your religion, you are included. It is from God. God sent it to humanity, and it has a part in His plan. He has had a plan 12,000 years ago, and that plan became in effect in this time, and He has directed the history. Here's a story to this point, and now, of course, He desires for humanity to see this plan clearly. And the plan is being given in our teachings and this revelation. And if you go to the website and see how wonderful God is and how all the powers and the history have been guided by man, and all the nations who gain power, they receive their power from God. And if those who have received that power become ungrateful and put God out of their system or power or understanding, they will be destroyed. They will lose the grace of God. And without grace of God, of course, the only thing is left will be ego, and the ego will always lead to destruction. Therefore, this revelation is the best psychology and best guide for humanity to heal themselves and to heal the whole earth. It is a revelation of healing power for individual. Those who really understand this teaching, their questions will be answered to the max, and they will not have any question left. This room is for question, as you can see. Nobody really asking any question, and I suppose that they don't have any. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful that we have reached a point, not very many questions left in the people who are in the mission. And those who come to the room, most of them who have questions, it's already been answered, and the very few questions left has not been answered. But anyway, we will be here for them, and if they come here and ask a question that has been already answered, we don't mind to repeat the answer, and hopefully in the long run we will have many teachers, 144,000 Maitreyas, like lights, point of lights, as somebody was saying, on earth, and 144,000 teachers will be teaching this teaching all over the place. Okay, Sifas have a question, so let us see what is his question. Go ahead, Sifas.
But I believe with all the knowledge I am getting from Maitreya teachings, is that God is energy, and we are living inside of this energy. So if we use in the wrong way this energy, the energy from God, we are going to get our own karma, our own bad energy, and this wrong energy is going to be with us until we can correct or fix this situation. So I think this is not your personal mission, Maitreya. This is our mission too, because we are living inside of God, and we have to work for him. Of course, you are representing him in the earth, but this is also our mission because we are using his energy, breathing, living with his energy.
Okay, well, that sounds like a statement. Of course, what you say has a lot of truth in it. But energy just is one of the three gunas, and that is Rajaguna. But energy will be affected by Tamaguna and bend the energy toward the world, or it can be affected with Sattvaguna, which will bend it toward God and a higher level. But you are correct. If you each are responsible for the energy and how you use it, and how you use it, of course, is if you are using it in a under the influence of Tama, which is create ego, then you will create karma and you will pay for it. You are absolutely correct. You are responsible for your action. I'm not gonna be able to correct your actions. I can guide you. I can show you the way. I can tell you, you know, get rid of your ego, get rid of your domination, get rid of the tamasic tendencies and self-centeredness and craving of the ego, and let God come through more and more. And as I said, God is the head of this mission. I am the heart, and therefore I'm here to reveal and let you guys know the message of God and what God has been doing it. Actually, I am hoping more and more I find the people I can work with, and we are co-workers together, and they recognize me as the heart of the hierarchy, and therefore we can come together and create the God's kingdom on earth. Of course, I was the first who received this revelation, and when you receive it, it is yours. It's no longer, of course, mine, but that doesn't mean we are separated, and you have a separate mission. The whole teaching is an umbrella that all of you will be under that umbrella, and I will be the focus of the all you as the nucleus. Therefore, we will not split to a splendor. If we will not waver in recognizing that any organization and any organ needs a center. Without center, there will be a splendor in that organization, and it will split to many numbers. And if the focus will be there, then we can all work together. And indeed, when I give you the eternal divine path, it is your mission. It's no longer mine. But organizationally, we have to recognize how we can stay united and one organ. Okay, I hope, yeah, that was a good statement, good realization. But if you go a little deeper, then indeed what you have recognized and realized have greater meaning. Go ahead, Lou.
My question is concerning Moses. We know that Moses was raised by the Egyptians, and how much influence did the Egyptian culture had on Moses in writing the first books of the Bible?
Well, God wanted to make Moses familiar with the Egyptian culture, and he, as all know, he was grown in the Pharaoh's court, and Pharaoh, of course, liked him and loved him because he was such a lovable and likable person and effective and all that. And but at the end, he realized and recognized that the system and the belief and the religion is based on a pagan understanding, and therefore he purified their understanding and religion And also he learned from Hebrews who came back to him and eventually he recognized he belonged to them. And by understanding their teaching and seeing that God is a spirit, there is only one God, there is not many gods as Egyptian believed, and you cannot make an image for him, as later on even Israelites did. Actually, the Israelites were influenced more by the culture of Egypt than Moses did himself, because he went through it, he saw the emptiness of it, you know, and eventually he came up and said, no, this is no good. We have to go back to one God and forget about images, and God is a spirit. You know, let's meditate and worship God in a spirit. Just like myself, I became familiar with many, many cultures and religions, and also I saw the dogmas and wrong part of each religion. So also we unify all the religion, and there is a part of each religion has to go, which is not correct, which is dogma, which is made, man-made. So Moses, same way, he realized, you know, the Egyptian and their understanding of God and their dogmas and their idol worshipping, and he rejected it. That is why when he went to the mountain, and he was late, Israelites, they said, well, where is this God? Where is Moses? Moses is not with us. And therefore, they said, let us make us a God. And they, you know, made the calf and started worshiping him and doing what Egyptians used to do, you know, with their God. But the Moses came, and he didn't say, oh, it's okay, yeah, well, I know about this calf and God, go ahead and we have a God in the form of the golden calf. But he actually opposed it, and he received the 10 commandments, actually the first 15 commandments even then, but 5 of them even broke before the 10 commandments was destroyed by Moses himself by throwing it at the calf. And therefore we can see God purified him, although he did raise in the Egyptian court and Egyptian culture, but when he found Hebrews and the teachings and went through the struggle that God put him through, he purified him, he purified his understanding, he purified his religion, so at the end he came up with the purified revelation from God. And so Egypt, actually he rejected Egyptian influence on him, as all of us have to reject the influence of our culture, of our religion, of our own understanding, and purify ourselves through this revelation that now has purified all the religion, and it shows where each of them have gone wrong. And by understanding this, of course, we can overcome those impurities and become bringing a pure revelation and understanding of God to ourselves. I have been influenced with a lot of cultures, and at least 2 cultures, and now my teaching is not based on any of them. My teaching is based on the Word of God, and that is why we should not follow any earthly culture, but godly culture and understanding, and that, again, is the only way to unify. If as far as we want to follow either Western culture or Eastern culture or Southern culture or Northern culture, we will have a separation, and that's one of the reasons of the war we rage right now, because there is a cultural struggle between West and East, and we are trying to see which one is better, and none of them is better. God's culture is best, and if we understand that then there is not such a thing as Eastern culture or Western culture. Then we can see, we can reject the back part of the Western culture, we can reject the back part of Eastern culture, and we see what is the God's culture. So East will follow the God's culture, West will follow the God culture, and everybody come together and bring the Word of God and His culture among themselves. So the prophets will be purified. The prophets will be put into the furnace to melt them down first, and then God make out of them a pure channel and instrument to bring the purest form of understanding God according to the time that revealer comes. We can see till now even a lot of religions and revealer brought God with a name. Of course, they didn't call him a name, just like Muslim come to our room and said the name of God is Allah. Jews say no, his name is Yahweh. You know, Krishna people say no, it's Krishna. The other one says no, it's Shiva, the Brahma, this and that. But now we say no. Indeed, God is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. And when we say that, of course, it absolutely shatter all those narrowness about the name of God, and we recognize that really he doesn't have a name, and therefore we can come together and recognize and realize God, and eventually hear his true name within ourselves, and overcome these separative tendencies. So I didn't call God a name. I could have called it Allah if I came up with a culture I grew up in, or I could have called it Jesus, which is the culture I came to know from the West, and therefore we can see I call them neither. I call them God is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. So we can see, although the prophets are influenced by their environment, God purifies them and reveal to them the truth of, you know, his way of doing and bringing God's way to man. I hope that answers your question. Of course, as usual, if anybody have a follow-up, you always can raise your hand again and we go from there. There is another question in the room from gives rise to, forgive me for my ignorance about Maitreya, but I would like to ask if Maitreya, who speaks here, has so-called miraculous power cities. Well, we have talked about the cities and miracles and signs and wonders, and we have concluded that miracles, signs, wonders, healing, and all those does not make a better believer. Actually, those who seek wonders and miracles and signs usually are not the best believer and follower of God. They are looking for sensationalization and personal gain, and there is always an ego involved in wanting that kind of things. And of course, according to our teaching, ego has to go. As ego go, you can see the miracle in your hand, the miracle in the creation. You don't really need a miracle, something extra to come to you to see the miracle of God. And therefore, the miracle of this mission in this time is the message. If you want a miracle, you understand the teaching and the message, and you see indeed, this is amazing message. And it is from God, and how God has been guiding humanity and history to this point, and therefore this is the culmination of all God's work to this revelation. And actually, I said many times, the only time that the universe rejoices is when the seventh seal and the book with the seventh seal is opened. That's the only place in the whole revelations and scriptures of God that the whole universe plus the 24 elders rejoiced that nobody could open the seal and reveal the revelation of the book sealed with the seventh seal, and then eventually Christ, the line of the tribe of Judah, comes and opens it, the whole universe rejoices. And therefore, by understanding this, you realize how amazing this revelation is, and it is indeed the greatest miracle you can receive. But it do teach you how to heal yourself. It teach you how to know your essence and realize, but you have to practice, you have to do it. And you can't say, okay, I got initiated, I'm fine, I'm going to be healing myself and I'm going to be healed. No, you have to meditate on the process and on the meditation, on the revelation, and eventually you learn, oh yeah, I can heal myself very well. Even the greater healer, of course, eventually they can get old and crooked and the body degenerate and leave their body. So there is, even in the greatest healing power, there is a limitation because this universe is not the natural state of being. It's not the essence. It is a relative truth. And of course, in relativity, nothing stays forever. And therefore, no matter how much healing power you would have, eventually the relative state of the creation will catch up with you, and you have no choice but leave that body and pick up another body and come later on. So, but the natural state of human is the pure consciousness and the three creative forces. That is the essence of God. And that, of course, never decays, never gets old, never will be destroyed. Therefore, why to be attached to the relative thing and stop being attached to the permanent thing? And that permanent thing, of course, is returning to God and becoming one with Him. Anything in this universe will eventually decay and will be destroyed. Even universe itself eventually will be withdrawn, and the whole creation will fall in itself and goes back to the a point of collapse, just like a warp star or black holes. When the galaxy falls in itself, it becomes very small, but it has such a great gravity that even life cannot, you know, escape it. Just like an ego. Ego just like suck the light into themselves, and they thrive on other people's energy and light, and but they never find themselves or learn how to be a light themselves, just like a warp star. Therefore, we can see the miracles are not important. The CDs are not the goal of life. Actually, they are a trap. Those who work for the CDs and powers, they fall into the trap of illusion and Maya and external world, and they eventually will create a bad, great karma for themselves, and they will not benefit very much. Therefore, the goal is not to gain CDs, and even if I have CDs and powers, I will not use them unless it's necessary to progress for the disciple or people who are in the mission. But the miracle is the message. The miracle of Prophet Muhammad was the Quran or his book. The miracle of this message, this organization or revelation, is the message itself. Of course, the message is in the in our holy book, which is called the holiest of the holies, though the last testament. So do not work for CDs. Do not fall for the miracles and wonders. Actually, it is being prophesied that those who do miracles and wonders at the end time, they are not the one that God sent to humanity. The Christ at this time will bring a healing power for the nations, for the whole earth, not for the individuals. But He will teach you how to heal yourself and become a healer by yourself. The way has been given. So this understanding have to come to those who are seeking the truth. Even Christ said when he feels and the unclean spirit leaves the man, he goes and finds seven even more wicked than itself. And it says, well, the house is empty and clean. Let's go back. And he brings seven more and the state of man will become worse than it was before. Because the man didn't learn how to heal himself. Therefore, when the seven wicked spirits come, they can easily go back and possess the man, and his state will be worse. So, by realizing that, we can see even those who heal other people, they will not give bringing benefit to that person. That's why Christ said, at the end time, you will come and tell me, I healed in my name, if you're in your name, and I'll tell, I know you not. You worked in equity, and God does not accept those people as his disciple or the people who are in the highest step of realization of God. And also God said, you know them by their fruit. He didn't say, you know them by their miracles or wonders and CDs. And therefore, you know them by fruit. Fruit means their work and how they can manifest and bring God's quality and work and establish the communities of light and all that. So CDs are discouraged, and they are not the goal. Of course, if you receive one, that's what, fine. Just take it, say, thanks, God. Now I have the CD. How can I use it for you the best way? Not an ego trip, but an instrument of God to be used to bring the kingdom of God on earth. I hope that answered your question. Therefore, this Maitreya is not emphasizing on CDs, actually discouraging people from becoming attached to those who have them, because they have worked for the wrong things. They did not work for manifestation of God's plan. Okay, Give Rise To is saying, right, I know this, but I was wondering if you have any. Well, I might have any. I'm not claiming anything at all. Many people claim things for me or about me, and I neither deny it nor confirm it. That is not important. That's not something that we should emphasize or concentrate on, and it doesn't really make any difference anyway. And we are not emphasizing on them, and we're discouraging it. So the most important is to understand the message, and the question really doesn't make any difference in what we are trying to do in this mission, and that is to understand this revelation and bringing the kingdom of God on earth. And therefore, your question is not going to be directly answered. There is miracles in this mission, and things happen that really are miracle by themselves. But the greatest miracle is the message of the mission. Even wars and destruction and all the tribulation is coming to humanity is a miracle of this mission, because it's been foretold to come. So the whole earth is in upheaval because of this revelation. The whole humanity is going through the great leap of consciousness because of this revelation. The whole humanity is going toward creation of the communities of light because of this revelation. So these are miracles by itself, by themselves, you know. But do I create a cross in the windows of people? Who cares? It is really important. How is it going to help to bring the kingdom of God on earth? Or energizing water and appearing here and there, and it's just silly. It's just being attached to such a wonders and manifestations that which really is not going to help the cause of God. Therefore, those things has to be recognized as not important. And those who do those things and brag about them are those who do not understand the word of God. And even if you look at the teaching is not based on the word of God. And they say a lot of things that has nothing to do with the word of God. There is nowhere in the scripture that it says that, you know, the line of the tribe of Judah, the revealer of the seven seal will come from Tibet, and he built his body and he will come and take over the world. And of course, he never shows up, of course, but, you know, that is not a scripture. You know, many, many things that they say is not a scripture, is not based on God, the word of God. But ours is. Ours is absolutely based on God, and this is the way God sent his revelation. He chose a man, he prophesies for thousands of years, and then that man comes and fulfills all the prophecies that God said will be prophesied, and then he brings the word of God. So we can see, indeed, those who follow those kind of things, not following the word of God, because God will not change his ways, and that is his ways, and that is how his revelation comes, and this is exactly based on his ways. And those who disagree with us, they are just using their own imagination or are under influence of the forces that are not completely connected to God, and an ego is involved. Anytime an ego is involved, it is not completely from God. I hope that answers your question. Of course, as usual, if you have follow-up, you can go ahead. Adele is asking Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I suppose that he is just confirming that what I was explaining, and that's exactly what the scriptures and the word of God says. Do not fall for wonders, do not fall for miracles, do not fall for those who say things is not based on the word of God, but they get attention of the world. Actually, those who say this thing, you know, they have more followers than this revelation so far, because they have deceived people, and they believe that those miracles are important. And I have, from my experience, you say yes, you do miracles, and you have CDs, and you manifest in things, you will find people, they're going to come and say, yes, you're right, I saw you, you know, walking on the water, and you came to me, and there are people, they love to get people, there's the ego involved there, they want that attention, and become famous, or somebody says, oh yeah, you have some spiritual understanding and power, and they come out and actually claim, yes, indeed, you know, you have those things, and I have seen it. I'm wondering how many of those miracles they claim happens for that other organization that you present, you know, very interesting, Maitreya. How many of them really have seen any miracles? Even if that is true, it's not that important, because it's right there. As Adele is posted here, no, that is not the way to know the Spirit of God and God's revelation. As Prophet Muhammad said, God has a specific way to send his prophets, the Messiah, the revealer of the truth. And his way is, he prophesies for a long time, and when that person comes, fulfill those prophecies. And there is a section in our website, I don't know if I've been there or not, I didn't write them, other people wrote them, and this is a part about how many prophecies this mission have fulfilled. And there is no other prophet ever fulfilled as many as this mission has, so that absolutely suggests that this mission is for the whole humanity. Other prophets fulfilled the prophecy specifically given for them, for that religion they brought to those people who came for. But this one is for all the religion. All the prophecies from all the religion have been fulfilled. Therefore, this shows the universality of this revelation. This revelation is for everyone on earth, for all religions. It's just not for Christian or Jews or Buddhists or Hindus or Muslim or Baha'is, but it is for the whole earth. And that makes sense, because the whole mission and the revelation explain everything you want to know about God. There is no question left about God that has not been answered. And after he prophesied for a long time, he sends that prophet, and that prophet will fulfill those prophecies, and therefore that person become very unique in the sense that no one else can claim these things. And that uniqueness is a proof for people who come to him and see his revelation. Of course, his word is based on the scriptures and the word of God. And he does not make things up or say things that you cannot find in any scripture. And therefore, you can recognize and realize and accept that person. Yes, indeed. And that's the way God does things. And therefore, this person is from God. And then you can trust that revelation and follow the truth that he reveals to you. So God's way is this way. God's way is not somebody who come from Himalayas and make his body and never manifest anyway, overshadows everybody, and the kingdom comes next day. God never says that. God said there's going to be tribulation, there's going to be destruction, there's going to be, you know, a lot of upheaval. And at the end is going to be a great war that will bring the kingdom of God on earth. Therefore, we have to become aware of the word of God and those who are influenced with the people or forces that is not godly. The end is here, actually. Zoom is asking, is the end near? End is here. If you know the revelation in chapter 5, it reveals that at the end time, the book sealed with the seven seal will be opened. We are in that period. We are at the time, the tribulation doesn't mean that the earth is going to change much, but the history and human endeavor is going to change. The rumors of war and destruction and all the tribulation and things God said will happen at the end time is here. We never had the ability to destroy humanity 50 times. Now we do. So we are at the point that the seventh seal will be opened, seventh trumpet will be blown, and all the mystery of God will be finished. It all has been done. We are at the point that will be coming next, which is the fall of the Great Babylon, and the Great Babylon, of course, is the world. Same people, same animals, same wars. You can type your question in text for now, Zoom. Have you been in our website, Zoom? Do you know about our teachings? What do we teach? Go ahead. Well, that is the name of our organization, but how do we unify all the world religions? Can you a little bit? Huh? We have had people who came to our room and they have not been very kosher in their approach, and therefore they have to prove themselves first that they really are interested in these teachings. If you like to type in the text, go ahead. And for time being, we want to know you a little more. Anyway, so we can see that this revelation indeed have come of God for humanity. It is their salvation. It is the time that indeed the seventh seal is open. And we are here to talk to everybody, but they have to prove that they really want to talk about this mission. Tell us. That is the arrangement here in this room. That you go to our website, you study our teachings, And if you didn't receive all your answer, come here and ask question. This is our room. What do you mean it's not fair? This is our room and we make the rules. You go and open your room and make your own rules. Okay, tell us a little bit, what do we teach? So, well, those wording and that kind of approach is not going to get you anywhere, Zoom. So if you want to be respected and given the mic, you will tell us, you know, at least a little bit about our teaching. And then, of course, we give you the mic. I can give you the mic, but before they have brought the energy down, and we don't want to see that, as you already have brought the energy down. Without knowing our teaching, you try to, you know, judge. And that is not fair. That is not fair. That's what you have to become fair and follow our request in this room. This is our room. It's, therefore, we can make the laws and the rules in it. The rule is to go to the website first, learn, and then come here and we talk to you for sure. Anyway, if a group in the room do not agree with me and we should let the Zoom take the mic, I go for the vote. You know, if you guys think, you know, we should let the people come to room and they don't know about the teaching to have the mic, just vote and say, yes, you should take the mic. We can take the vote if you guys want to take a vote. Okay. All right, well, apparently, at least we get five of the people, they said no, it's all right. And but if you have, you do not agree with me, you know, that's fine. We can make the mic available to anybody come to the room. All right, sounds like most of the people agree with me. That's great. And so we go with this policy. If the people came to the room, they have to let us know that they really have gone to the website and at least know a little bit about what we teach. They can type their question in text. Anybody can do that. But then they take the mic and they say unkosher things. You know, then it brings really the energy down. But in general, of course, if we gather people around ourselves and become 2, 3, 4, 5 hundreds, then we have a greater ability to create an environment that we can let only good energies to come to us, and we can filter those bad energy before even gets to the center or to the place that it can affect the organization and the mission. And it is unfortunate that we have people that they come here to create, you know, unkosher energy. The only thing we can say is God forgive them. They know not what they do, but at least we try to filter them as much as possible. Again, this is the conversation room for the mission of Maitreya. In this room, we ask everybody to go to our website, which is at the top of the banner, and is posted in the text all the time at the same time. And in that website, all the answers you and the, all the questions you might have will be answered, and it will teach you how all God's revelation and mission and religions have come, and each of them have a message for humanity. And when you put them together, you see this whole picture, and that God said, the, God is the mystery until the seventh revelation of God comes to earth, and this seventh revelation now is on earth and unifies all the humanity. Greeting to you too, Taliesin, the bard, and sound like you have been in our room or have been in our website. If you have a question about the teaching, you are welcome to put it in text or take the mic and tell us your questions if you have been in website and you know what to teach. And now it's the seven seals open. The mystery that was kept even from the great prophets is revealed. I have no question. I listen. Great. That's fine. That's also one option. You can come here and listen. It is our cyber church. But of course, the room, you know, mostly is for that purpose. Of course, we have been at it for last 23 or 4 years, answering questions, and there are many, many questions answered, which all has been posted in the website. And if you go to the website, there is a search engine, which you can just put your question, and you will receive many, many resources to see what the answers for those questions are. And but that's why we come to the Zoom, and not very many questions are there, but sometimes there are good questions come up and we answer them. And also this room for the new people who can come to the room and ask questions, and we answer them for them. Go ahead, Lou.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yes, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. My question was concerning Christ. You said yesterday that Jesus the Christ was not surrendered and submissive in his first mission. And in Matthew, it said that he was taken away. Was he taken away completely off Europe, or was he taken away to some other part? This is the first question.
Yeah, well, if you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, God, take this cup from me. And he wanted God to take away the crucifixion and death if it occurred. Of course, there's a controversy of if he really died on cross or not. It's really not that important, and we're not going to get into that. The most important thing, what did he say? But in that moment, he felt weak, and the flesh became too strong for him, and as he said, the flesh is strong and the spirit is weak. And in that moment, he asked God to take the cup away from me, but he immediately recognized and realized that, no, thy will be done, not mine. And of course, that is possible, that God created that scenario for human to recognize and realize that, you know, that Christ in that moment became surrendered and submissive to the will of God. That is why when he came next lifetime as Prophet Muhammad, he brought the teaching of the surrendering and submission to God. And he recognized and realized that, you know, he has to go through the destiny that God has been designed for him. And he should accept the will of God. So the will of God was for him to go through that suffering, and he did. Therefore, in that moment, we can see he is not completely surrendered to the will of God. And also, he was the Messiah. He was the anointed one. He was the first begotten Son of God. So he had reached pure consciousness and oneness with God from the very beginning of the creation. How can anybody kill him? Yeah, you can kill the Messiah's body, and he dies in a body, but his spirit is one with God, and therefore nobody really can kill him. In a sense, that is what Prophet Muhammad is saying, that it seems to them that they killed the Messiah, the Christ. But really, it seems to them, because really, how can you kill eternal soul that already has reached pure consciousness? That's why he's an avatar. He's a Maha avatar, a great avatar. And an avatar come from God. And when he come from God, of course, he returns to God. So you cannot kill him. So in your answer, do they kill him? Physically, they might have. as I said, even that is a very controversial topic. Muslims don't believe he was dead or killed. Rosicrucian don't believe he died. They believe that they took him off the cross and he lived till he became an old age. And he guided his disciples in that period. So which one is correct? Doesn't matter. The most important thing, what did he say and what was his message? So you cannot kill the Messiah. You can kill his body, you can destroy his body, but his soul will continue coming back and say, here I am. You know, they stoned Prophet Muhammad, he came as Bob. They shot Bob to death, you know, he came back as, you know, other prophets and brought the revelation of God. Therefore, you cannot kill the Messiah. Therefore, Christ did not die. But he was taken, his soul was taken to God, and he returned later as other prophets. So, you have to look at the essence of the man, not the body of the man. The body can be killed, but the essence cannot be killed. Even, not only Messiah's essence cannot be killed, anybody's essence cannot be killed. If you read Bhagavad Gita, it clearly says, you cannot either kill or be killed. And whoever thinks they kill or they are killed, they're an illusion. They associate a man or a person with the body instead of seeing they are the soul. And soul cannot be destroyed. Okay, go ahead. Talism.
Hello, Maitreya. My question is, I actually have a question, because I've noticed that in these days there's sort of a spiritual awakening that's taking place. And is this you say that you have the Christ in you. Well, is this a consciousness that you see taking place in everyone? I don't feel that you're actually claiming to be God. But for what I feel, you're talking about a consciousness that's taking place. It's sort of like the same consciousness that, you know, Buddha had, or Muhammad, or Christ. It's that consciousness of being connected to God. Is this what you're talking about, or are you actually claiming to be God? Can you clarify that?
Sure.
He thinks he's the Christ, the resurrection. He's just another guru without a rope.
Okay, Carl. Your sound, your voice, we know very well by now that's who you are. And we just, you know, thanks God to forgive you. You know not what you do, but you are creating bad karma for yourself. And you have no idea what you're talking about. Anyway, we have explained, as Christ said, I am the way, the only way. No one goes to the Father but through me. Therefore, Christians now say he is God. He is incarnated. And therefore, no one goes to the Father but through him. But that's not unique. So does Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita says, you know, Krishna is the way. And no one goes to God but through Krishna. And Krishna is God incarnated. And then, of course, Prophet Muhammad says the same thing. Listen to the Prophet. Whatever he says is whatever I say. And his word is my word. And therefore, indirectly, Prophet Muhammad says, nobody goes to the Father but through me. You can see all the prophets have said the same thing. Then are they all God? If that's true, why Christ said, I am also the Son of Man. And also when somebody called him rabbi, a good rabbi, he said, I'm not good, only good is God. What happened? A few days ago, you were the only way, now you're not even good? Or Prophet Muhammad just said, I'm a plain messenger, I'm a man. You know, don't make me God. So we can see, there is a contradiction there, it seems to be. In one sense, he is the word of God, and whatever he says, God says. And in another sense, he's just a plain man. How can then reconcile with each other? Explanation is indeed, Christ is a man. Christ is a person. Christ is a human. But when he reveals the word of God, when he reveals the revelation of God, when he became the mouthpiece of God, when he gives that song or reveals the truth of God, the Spirit of God is upon him. His essence and God are one. It is the same Spirit, it's the Holy Ghost that went through the eternal divine path in the very beginning and returned to God as one with God. Therefore, that in those time and period, he and God are one. There is no separation. And his words are the word of God, and he is the mouthpiece of God. Therefore, there is a true nature in Messiah, as the Son of Man, as the Son of God, as a human, and the only way. So, that's why we say the same thing. There is no other way but eternal divine path and our teaching for humanity. And every religion who comes, he brings and purifies the one before it. And of course, when the seventh one comes, it purifies everything. Now it's purified. And therefore, no one goes to the Father but through our teaching and me. Therefore, we can claim that it sounds like that I'm claiming I'm God, but at the same time I'm claiming I'm a man. So if you understand those two natures and understand the prophecies and what Messiah means anointed one, you understand the way God works. Go ahead, Talism.
What I'm saying, Maitreya, is that when Jesus came, he never talked about starting a religion. He never asked somebody what their religion was when he healed them. That wasn't the point. The point was to love and to show us how to return to the Father by love. Do you think that this awakening you have is just part of, in essence, what everybody's getting, this awakening to our higher conscious, to our source, meaning that we're gaining that same conscious that Christ had? Not necessarily that it's an individuality thing, but indeed everyone.
Okay, well, that is the teaching of the New Agers that teach that, but is not based on the Word of God. God says there's going to be an elect who come and progress to this point, and when this revelation come, they will recognize this revelation and come and help, and eventually the kingdom of God will come on earth. It will take 1,000 years before these elects themselves completely will be awakened to the state that they will overcome. And if you look at the chapter 22 or 24 of the Revelation, it is then it says, he who overcometh will become my son. So the first begotten son was the Spirit of God who became the son in the very beginning of the creation. Now, of course, you are correct. There is an awakening for a lot of people who recognize that they have the essence of God in them, and they realize they can become as Christ was. Christ said, if you have the faith of the mustard seed, you can do even greater miracles, as he did. But the point is not to make miracles, but to become the son of God, sons of God. So the eternal divine path now has been given to humanity to follow it, and for 1,000 years, when you master to follow eternal divine path and shatter all knowledge of the mind and disease of the ego, you will become the Son of God, and that is the promise God gave at the end time, the second resurrection. This is the first resurrection, you are correct. There is a resurrection, there is an awakening of the consciousness and understanding that you indeed can become a son of God. But in this time, you have to come and join the mission and follow eternal divine path, create the communities of light, become a light worker, and bring the kingdom of God on earth. And according to the word of God, it's going to take 1,000 years before you become the son of God. And therefore, that new age thinking that I am God, but I'm not going to follow the eternal divine path, is a delusion that will misguide a lot of people. That is not the Word of God. The Word of God does not say, you are the Son of God at this time. You will become a Son of God in 1,000 years. So that thing also New Age have to recognize and realize and overcome their own understanding and go and see the understanding of God. And therefore, your answer to your question is you have to forgo your understanding and see, yes, there is an awakening. There is a recognition and realizing that I have the essence of God. And also, we do not claim we are creating a religion. It depends, of course, what you define religion. But we say we have revealed a path to salvation, physically, mentally, spiritually, individually, and collectively. And that path has to be followed by those who want to become the sons of God, or become Christ, or become as the Messiah. So there is a period, there is a commitment in this revelation and becoming the Son of God. And it just accepting, yeah, well, everybody have the essence, therefore I'm God, have misled a lot of people who their ego have come in between them and God, and it has become an ego trip. And we have many people, they come in our room and say, I am God too, or I am the Messiah, but I haven't fulfilled any prophecies, but I am God because everybody else says, I have the essence of God with me. Just recognizing you have the essence of God with you does not make you the Son of God. But if you follow eternal divine path and truly, you know, dedicate yourself and your life to the revelation of God, which is to follow eternal divine path, a promise is given for sure, in 1,000 years, you will become a Son of God. So that is the part that New Agers have to recognize and understand, that by just believing that I have the essence of God, you do not become God. You do not become Christ. You do not become the Son of God. But there is a process in it to manifest the quality of God. If you can manifest quality of God, then you will eventually reach pure consciousness and one with God, and you will become Son of God. There's no doubt about it. Okay? There's no teaching here that says, no, you cannot reach Christ consciousness. Indeed, we say you can. But the Word of God says it will take you 1,000 years. Go ahead.
Well, I find it very interesting, Maitreya. When I listen to you, I hear truth. I just think that there's a lot of misconceptions that maybe you need to clear up. Because I read your website, and it's almost misleading, like the people that even write about you. Because I understand where you're coming from, and I can hear the truth in you, but I think there's a lot of misconceptions.
Oh, okay, you mean misconception in the teaching, or what I say, or what is in the website, or what the people have?
What the people have. I think it's what the people have, because I hear what some of the people have to say, and I'm not getting that from you. I find there is truth in you.
The reason is that Mr. Cram came, and he said a lot of things which is not based on the Word of God. And he popularized the name Maitreya, and a lot of book was written that Maitreya is Antichrist, and a lot of Christians just accept any person with the name Maitreya as Antichrist, and we are the only really active Maitreya on earth that brought this teaching, have the website, and still people connect us with what Mr. Cram teaches, instead of they go to the website and come hear what we say themselves and come to that conclusion. But their misconception is based what they have heard from Mr. Cram books and his claims about Maitreya, and he has brought a lot of confusion to the to this revelation. And of course, also he helped to popularize the name Maitreya And therefore, when people hear the name Maitreya, they know, you know, there is an expectation of coming, and he called Maitreya Christ and took, you know, ad all over the world. Even we do not agree with him in what he says. He almost seemed like a John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist came and said Christ is going to come, but John the Baptist had his own ideas how he's going to come. And he never recognized Christ when he came. And his disciples even went to Christ and said, are you really the one that John the Baptist was talking about? And Christ said, well, what do you see? You see the miracle? You see the truth? But the people who come to this room or come to us and listen to this truth and see if it's based on the word of God, you know, just like you recognize it is from God. And hopefully, we are hoping even his disciple and his the people who know him, if they recognize what he said is not based on the word of God, what he said is not going to come as eventually the disciple of John the Baptist came and joined Christ later. We are hoping even Mr. Cram's people eventually recognize that what he said is not going to happen and his teaching is not based on the word of God and come and join us. Therefore, Maitreya, this Maitreya at least is not Antichrist. It's his teaching is based on the word of God, and it has a very great long resume of fulfillment of the prophecies and genealogy and all the signs that it is from God. So if you find somebody who has misconception, you know, let them know that they do not know the whole truth, and hopefully you become a channel for guiding others to come and see the Word of God. And we appreciate that you see that clearly. We are at the end of our time today. And of course, if there is any question, probably I can take one or two more. If there is no other questions, as usual, we leave you to God. And apparently we have a question. Go ahead. Let's be the last question for this week, then. If you want to continue question, that's okay. I can wait. Go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to thank you for sharing. It's not really a question. Just thanks for, you know, sharing what you have.
Sure, you are quite welcome, and of course, all thanks go to God, and His Spirit is on earth, and it is wonderful that let's get humanity to see this clearly, that it is actually is from God, and we can indeed bring the Spirit of God among ourselves. And I say goodbye, and say salam. Just a second. 020-4020 is, I think, can I type some question? I have no mic. Yeah, go ahead. 020-4020. Go ahead, type your questions. We hope that you have gone to our website and you have seen the teachings and your question is related to the mission, but go ahead and type to see what you have. Probably is still typing them, you know, so we, okay, I will look at the website for now. I will ask question another time, thanks. Good, okay, it's fine, no problem there. We are here every week at 10 o'clock, Saturdays. Usually there is an advertisement in the room that says Maitreya will be here at 10 o'clock. If I will not be here, the advertisement say I will not be here that week or so. But usually, I am here at 10 o'clock Saturdays, and you are welcome to go to our website and understand our teaching and come back here and ask your question. Be with God. Have a good week, the God week, and reach out to humanity and let everybody know the word of God have come to man again. Salam, everybody. See you next week.